Welcome to A Lunch with Biggie, a podcast about small business and creatives sharing their stories and inspiring you. My guest today is a food storyteller with a curious palate and a love for travel and adventure. Please welcome podcast host for Let's Chisme con Chanti and content creator for Let's Try This Orlando, Chantal Aybar, or Chantal Aybar. How are you, Chantal?
I love this intro.
You like it?
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I've been wanting to have you on for a very long time.
I know, and we never made this happen.
I know.
How horrible.
No, it's okay.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be in Lunch with Biggie. I've listened for a while now, and I started my own podcast. And guess what, guys? Anthony, aka Biggie, was my first ever guest.
I was.
He was my first ever guest. Made me feel so comfortable, and it's just an honor to be here. My name is Chantal Aybar in Spanish, or Chantal Aybar in English.
Yep.
And actually, I made Anthony speak Spanish for a whole time. If you didn't know, now you know. He's full-blown Cuban.
Yep.
And speaks amazing Spanish.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So obviously this is my lunch break. And we're actually here at Chimmy King restaurant because I couldn't, of course, Chantal had to have me go somewhere that I haven't been to because she wanted me to try this. So, which works out very well with her Instagram handle. But out of curiosity, what's your go-to lunch or sandwich?
Okay, so my go-to sandwich would be a fried chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Like, I don't know what it is, but I die for a good fried chicken sandwich. Like, it's just my weakness, my cheat day. Like, if that's what I can, I will do a fried chicken sandwich.
Is there a local place that you go to that you have like a favorite, or you'll go to the fast food place?
Either option is good.
Okay.
Although I do love Jam Hot Chicken.
Yes.
I absolutely love them. But, I mean, I don't discriminate fried chicken.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. You can never go wrong with that. So tell people a little bit about Let's Try This. Give people a little bit of an idea of how you started it and how it's kind of transformed through the years and why you wanted to start it.
Well, I love this question. So I was born in the United States. Most people think I wasn't, but it was because my parents were living in Ohio. They were studying, but then moved to Dominican Republic. I grew up there, and my dad's like, you gotta go to college in the U.S. It's amazing. It's the best 4 years of your life. Like, take it from me. And I'm like, yeah, right, Dad. What do you know about fun? But, you know, he insisted enough. I went to school in the U.S., and I decided to stay because I got a job in banking. Which, again, is what a lot of my family members do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to be a banker. Yeah, right? I ended up following the trend, whatever you want to call it.
You're like five generations. Is it four or five generations?
Yeah, fourth generation banker. It's crazy. So I try to be different. And in my own ways, I am, but I ended up being a banker. And but I always had like a creative side to me. Like when I was 12, I don't know if I ever told you, but when I was 12, I started a jewelry business.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I designed my own jewelry. My parents supported it. I started making money. And that's how I actually made my first investment. I opened up a CD.
No
way.
And
that's when I first started to understand compounding interest.
Holy cow. At 12.
At 12, yes.
So wait, so let me ask you this before, and I love that you gave me this. Was other people in your family, because obviously you had generations of bankers, but did you have other people in your family that were also creative or were entrepreneurial in that sense?
Yes. So I have a couple cousins that do run their own businesses. One has like a dealership. Also, my grandfather's brother had like a university. On my mom's side, my aunt, she has like a pharmacy. So somebody else has like a cleaning product thing just targeted for hotels because, you know, Dominican Republic's very touristy. So, and then my uncle is like such a niche person. He would do gardens for like vacation homes in like a very, you know, upscale place.
Yeah.
So everybody had like their own thing. And it was kind of like the mentality of you have to be a business owner to make money, because that's kind of how it is in a third world country. So they're like, you have to, and you can be anything, but you have to be your own boss.
Yeah.
So the the idea of being my own boss was always instilled in me.
Okay.
It didn't matter if it was like in a creative field or if it was in banking. They were just more concerned about me being my own boss.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. What? So let's go. Let's bring it now back to a few years back when you decided to try to do Let's Try This Orlando. What? How did that start?
So, again, I studied in Virginia, ended up becoming a banker. And I'm like, here I am. And then they sent me to a different city and then to another city. And I was like, dang, but I was free spirited.
Yeah.
That was when my creative side, and I hadn't forgotten that jewelry business and the entrepreneurial side of me. And I just, my dad always traveled the world. So he would always bring me like things and stuff, or because he, before he became a banker, he had a different corporate job. And I was always very curious. And my grandma also cooks all kinds of things.
Yeah.
And she would cook all kinds of stuff, so I was spoiled. And I would just get bored of eating the same thing. And I would just go to out of my way in between my banking appointments. I would write down like, oh, I saw this place. I saw this other thing. In this magazine, this place is opening. And I would go, because I was new to Orlando. And my job had sent me, and I was by myself. So I was like, how do I make Orlando fun? And I told my coworkers, I didn't choose to be here. I was sent here. And they're like, but I said, but I'm open to trying it. And they're like, we're going to show you the Orlando's fun. And I'm like, well, take me.
Yeah.
So I started going out with all of my coworkers, all kinds of age ranges, and writing down different places. And then people were like, Chantal, you need to put this somewhere. Like, you got good recommendations. You know where to go. Like, and I was like, because I'm really good with special directions and maps.
Okay.
And I would be like, this is on the east side. This is on the west. This is north. Like, they're like, you please put this somewhere. Like, and I was like, oh, okay. One day, I had a day off. I had no plans. And if you know me, I cannot be without doing something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know how to stay still.
No, it's very tough for me.
Yeah.
And that day, I was by the pool with a friend. And I said, you know what? People keep telling me this thing. And I said, let's try this shit. And I literally just nonchalant, let's try this shit. And I said, let me. And but then I was like, how are we going to name it? I was like, well, I can't put a curse word on Instagram, but I put, let's try this. And I ORL as an Orlando short. And I was like, okay. And I Googled how to do hashtags, how to do this. And I started posting because I already had tons of pictures of food like a weirdo in my phone.
How long ago was this? When was this?
November of 2018.
Yeah.
So 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. So, and I started opening it, and like, you know, I got in contact with other food bloggers because then people, you know, Instagram started recommending you and telling, and then other food bloggers, and I'm like, wow, there's a community. That's the last thing I thought. I'm like, there's a community of people that do this.
Yeah.
And everybody had a different path, but they do it as an outlet. Some do it as a full-time job. I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, whoa, this is a whole new world that I had no idea.
Yeah.
And then I told you the story that a friend from New York was like, why is it oral? And I'm like, ORL is short for Orlando and not oral. So it's like, I don't want my Instagram to be confused. So then I renamed it to Let's Try This Orlando.
Yeah, no, that's and it worked out very well that way. And I guess as time grew, you basically have gone, because I'm always kind of curious on how, you know, you and I have talked about this. The foodie community and the food blogger or Instagram or just food, those in, I guess, what do you call them? Food, food creators. Yeah. Food content creators. I would say you've seen them come and go.
Yes.
And it's always kind of a tough one because I'm always kind of curious. So I'm going to ask a few kind of curiosity questions that, you know, cause I don't consider myself to be I'm a food content creator in the sense that I love sandwiches, but I don't get invited to the things, to the many things that you get invited to. So tell people is majority of it things that you get invited for, you pay out of your own money. How does that kind of work? Because I think there's like let's rephrase the question. Give me some of the misconceptions that people assume food content creators are like or do.
I absolutely love this question because if my new journey, my podcast of Les Chisme Con Chanti,
yeah.
One of the purposes is to show the other side that of the envelope that people don't realize.
Yeah.
And I've invited quite a few creators and people on all sides of the food industry for that sole purpose.
Yeah.
And first off, I will start with, I spend about $1,000 in restaurants a month, and I'm a single person. So it adds up quickly, and even though you can...
And that's just food. That's not even driving. That's not I'm assuming that's not... You're not even...
That's not groceries.
That's not... Or that's commutes not, of like driving to those places. Yeah.
No, that's solely... Remember, I'm a banker.
Yeah.
I have all my budgets, and I have all my categories of spent. It's usually an average of $1,000 that I spend on restaurants.
Wow.
So just to put that out there, you can... his face...
I'm in shock. I'm in shock because it's like, so I'm like, okay, that's great. Cause then I'm like, maybe it gets offset by the fact that you, cause that means that you're actually buying food. It's not like you're getting free food. I mean, you may get free food on some things because it's kind of ebb and flow, but that means that you're actually spending money in order to create content to then actually be able to make money as well. Because obviously people, you know, the more people follow and this and that, then you actually get revenue from social and all those things.
Correct. So I just wanted to shock you right
there.
Yeah,
please.
So that to give you a number
it.
And be specific.
Yeah.
But so I'll put it this way. At the beginning, you get excited or you're getting invites. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is so cool. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to get invited. I don't have to pay for it. Actually, I can bring a plus one. Let me tell you, it gets old very quickly.
Yeah.
And that's why you see a lot of people come and go. They gain weight, so then they get self-conscious, their confidence gets shattered.
Yeah.
Then they don't know how to manage all the invites, then they get a lot of pressure to post, then they compare themselves to other people and other content. It mentally is tough, and also on your body to kind of get that balance. I also gained weight, partly during COVID, because of COVID and stuff, and I had to like work on having a healthy relationship with food and then lose all the weight and then find a style and a way that works for me, for Chantal. Yeah. So after 5 years, I think I'm at a healthy place, mm-hmm. but it is
a balance.
It is a balance, and everyone's body works differently, and what works for you doesn't work for me. I also spend more money because I make sure I have like, I don't have that much time and I work a corporate job, so I get like a meal subscription that's costly but healthy, counting, you know, with controlled calories for my lunch. So then, you know, ideally for dinner, I can create content. Sometimes it's invited, sometimes it's not. But as I was saying, at first, you're very excited about the invites. And some people stay in this phase and then never kind of grow out of it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the people that I respect and I aspire to and how I am, then you realize, well, why am I eating the third burger this week? Did I really want a burger?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So even if you invite me to have a burger, then I'm like, you know what? My body's craving a salad.
Yeah.
So I would rather pay for my salad than have a third burger. You know?
No,
and
I get that.
And it becomes this thing of like, I appreciate the invite, but I don't want to eat fried food 5 times a week.
Yeah.
So I would rather accept 2 of those and then pay for 3 that are things that absolutely interest me.
Yeah.
Because if not, you only end up accepting the invites and eating all the junk food or not so good food for you that people are inviting you. Plus, you end up having, which is another issue in the community, you end up having the food and the content that everybody has.
Yeah, so you all kind of have the same thing.
So then why should someone follow you if you're just providing the same as everybody else? Which goes to the point that I told you. Then mentally gets tough because then you compare yourself to
someone else.
So you have to find, you end up seeing like, okay, what are invites that truly excite me?
Mm-hmm.
So now when I get invited to somewhere and I go, it's because I have already looked at the place and seen, oh, this is a place that if it was a Thursday night with my friends, with whoever, I would actually want to go to.
Yeah.
not just going because it's free food. At the beginning, you get excited and you just want the content and all that. But then you get like, no, would I be going with my family? Would I be going with my friends? You know what? Yes. And sometimes people think you get like a little bit cocky, but it's more like, actually, that day I would rather be alone or be with my friends.
Yeah.
Could we reschedule it for a different time?
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
You know, and you start kind of negotiating and changing, because if not, it just, you get tired of it because it feels more like a job than like a hobby, and you're going to places just because they invited you, not because you're truly excited about it, and then it ends up showing on your posts.
I was going to say, what do you feel has been your recipe for success in creating content like this?
So I've been lucky or blessed or whatever that through all of it, I've kept my job, and through COVID, I grew a lot, and a lot of people started respecting me more because during COVID, I actually gave back a lot to the community. But it was basically because a lot of people were without a job, a lot of restaurants were trying to get creative, and I actually had more work in my full-time job and was getting bonuses and different things. And to this day, I think COVID, like 2020, was the year that I made the most money personally.
Wow.
And I did different giveaways, I did different things, and I supported so many restaurants. And I think to this day, 3 years later, people remember and respect that, hey, I'm more here to collaborate and grow and do this. I don't necessarily want a handout.
Yeah.
And I think through that, people have noticed, and the fact that I have that income coming, I could pick and choose what place I want to go to. And I think that sometimes also my fear of doing this full time, would I take a collaboration or something just because I need the money versus now where I can pick and choose because I don't depend on that money.
Correct.
You know, and that's always been, you know, conundrum that I'm have to, you know, evaluate, because sometimes even when I ask for things and they say no, then I purchase it on my own and be like, you know, I don't need you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, that's what makes total sense. The other thing that I'm always curious about, because I sometimes will, I don't know. It's like, I'm assuming it's a mindset. When you come, like that balance of creating content and enjoying life, you know what I mean? Because like, sometimes you're just hungry and you just want to eat and you don't want to and you don't want to feed the camera first. So like, how do you balance that of like trying to like be in the moment, enjoy it, but at the same time also, you know, you're like, oh, well, I'm here because I want to create, I'm also creating content. So how do you balance that? Sometimes is that like
it's tough.
Like, is there sometimes, I mean, obviously I don't like, and we've joked about this, no one ever really sees an Instagram post of you eating salad, so those are the meals, like, you know, like that you always go with the, you know, with your videos and all that stuff. So like, is that kind of how it works? Is like, hey, if I'm going to be doing it for content, I'm eating for content and because I want to, then I'm filming? Or is there like, or sometimes you just be like, oh, this looks really good, I just want to, you know, how do you balance that?
It is a tough balance.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that I have a healthy viewpoint and relationship after 5 years of doing it. It wasn't always that great, but I've gotten to a point where I can definitely decide, no, I don't feel like doing this today. And you know what? It's okay if I don't post.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine. 'Cause I would rather skip on that one day than burn out and be, oh, the food blogger, do you remember? Oh, yeah, our videos were cool, and then I don't know what happened. And I have so many stories like that.
Yeah.
Actually, a friend of mine, oh my God, I love him, but he's like, I thought he was an asshole because he told me, and we're close, but he told me, yeah, I don't say hi to these content creators if they haven't been around a year. He's like, I won't bother follow them or say or interact with them or anything. And I'm like, why? And he's like, I don't know if they're going to last. And I'm like, wow, that's such a tough approach.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof, that's harsh. Guess what? After 5 years, I think he's more right than wrong.
Really?
Yes. Because people get super excited, like I told you, go to 100 events, and then get burnt out mentally, physically, emotionally, and then disappear and don't even contact you again ever. So it's like, so were you just using me for the content, for the community, for the engagement?
Yeah.
Like, what would? And sometimes they have their true reasons, but a lot of time you wonder.
Yeah.
And I always think about that friend that said that, and he's still in my life, you know, but I always joke with him about it. I'm like, wow, I thought you were exaggerating, but I think about that so much because I don't want to do that to myself.
Yeah.
I don't want to get to a point where it feels like a duty and I'm not excited about it.
Yeah. No, I think that's super important. The other angle or the other side of the coin for you, because I did say that you love to travel. You've always been a traveler. So I'm always kind of curious about like how we're, because that's one thing. If you follow, Let's Try This Orlando, you'll notice that the content kind of goes on their stories and all that stuff, all the different locations. Sometimes my wife and I will go, is she gone again? Like, where did she go? Because sometimes you don't know what's, if you're here, you're not here based on her stories, which is amazing. But how do you decide, like, where, I know obviously you have a love for traveling. It's like something that's been instilled in you. And I always love seeing your adventures when you go there. But how do you decide, like, when you get to go, where do you get to go? I mean, like, I'm just kind of curious on like how you pull that off, because you're always either going, you know, going in mana, like with, you know, it's like I'm going with my sister, I'm going with my family, or I'm going with friends, but you're always going somewhere.
So I love traveling, just like I like trying new foods.
Yeah.
I like to experience the new cultures through their food. So I don't want to eat it here. I want to
eat it there.
Exactly. I don't want the locals to make it for me. Yeah. So, and I also have a love for languages. So I'm all for putting myself out there in different situations. So I kind of pick based on what Instagram gives you, what stories my family has, because a lot of people in my family love to travel. Based on the stories I collected and all that, I have certain curiosity. But also, I decided that a lot of people just go to Europe because it's easy and convenient. And I understand that and I see that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just realized I'm not getting younger any day. Every day that passes, I get older.
Correct.
So my approach is different than most people, because I'm like, I want to do the more remote adventures when I'm younger in the countries, the developing nations, because the infrastructure is not as advanced. So to me, like my most recent cool travel, I went to El Salvador. People are like, what? I'm like, well, Spirit has a direct flight. It's cheap. It's convenient. And I can rough it now versus 10, correct, 15 years from now. I can climb those volcanoes like there's nothing. I don't know if I'm going to be healthy in 10 years or in 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I do it, based on proximity, how much time off I have. And I always think of, for example, I haven't been to Germany. And I always think to myself, well, if I'm 70 or 80, you can push me in a wheelchair around Germany and I will enjoy it and get to see it. But you will not be able to push me in a wheelchair around El Salvador or Guatemala.
Yeah.
I will not enjoy it. It's not wheelchair accessible,
yeah.
You know? So that's the kind of the approach that I take. And based on that, a lot of times I just book it. And if somebody wants to come with me, come with me. And if not, I go on my own.
What's your travel tip for that? Like, if you're going to go, like, where do you usually like purchase your airline tickets and stuff like that? Or
a lot of
look
time,
and see.
So a lot of times I would just do Google Flights and see dates that are cheap. And that's the thing. I'm flexible on the dates and location.
Yeah.
I would just see what's cheap for what season. And I mean, and if it's a country that I don't know much about, I'm like, let me see. Like Albania that I went. Everybody talks about Greece or this and that. And then I saw specials for Albania. Did I want to go to Albania before that? No. But Google said it was very affordable. I looked into that and I'm like, wait a minute. It's Greece's neighbor. It's just as pretty. But it's like the ugly neighbor that nobody knows about. And I was like, this is it. A third of the price and just as cool. And it'll be like a unique experience. And sure enough, I put it in the universe. And before I knew it, from the food community, somebody found somebody that was from Albania, gave me some recommendations. And I found somebody here in Orlando that was Albanian. And before I knew it, it was like just manifested. And I was like, I'm going. And ended up being a great experience.
I
even got free food for my food creation in Albania.
I remember seeing that. You went into the kitchen with them.
Yes.
And got to do it.
And they were so excited that I was going to give them the content that they were like, we'll cook whatever you want if you give us the content in the video. Yeah. And because I was traveling by myself, I was like, sure. And it was a bonding experience with random chefs that didn't even speak English.
Yeah.
And it was so amazing. It was one of the core memory of travel that I would retain forever, you know?
I was going to ask, is that, would you say that's where like your most surprising place you've been to? That kind of surprised you, since you basically have gone to so many different places. Is there one that's kind of like shocked you, like, wow, this is way better than what I expected it to be? Or, you know, it's kind of like underrated and more people should go to?
Underrated that more people should go to, I definitely think Guatemala. I went last year and I'm going to go this in 2024. So I absolutely think Guatemala is, it's up there for me.
That's awesome.
I mean, again, Spirit, direct flight from Orlando, 3.5 hours. You can get tickets to $200. I mean, you know, you save $50 a paycheck and you got, you know, and in 2 months you can raise the money for that. And the accommodations, and it's very active. It has a lot of good rum. A lot of good rum, a lot of good ice cream, a lot of, it's just, and it has a lot of volcanoes and outdoor and lakes, and it's just amazing.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, because is most of your content created on your phone, or do you bring a camera?
So on my phone.
Okay. So
I thought of doing the switch, but I decided against it.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you, since your phone in front of you, I want to know how many photos you have on your photo, because I'm intrigued by this, on how many you can possibly have. And then I was also going to ask you, what advice do you have for creating content on your phone, like any apps or anything like that you recommend?
Okay, so,
and I'm gonna look at mine too to see how many photos I have, just so I can be as shocked from when I see yours. Okay, so what do you got?
Oh my goodness, I have 49,208 photos and 42,927 videos.
What? How big of a camera phone do you have? What's your? You must have like the largest one. Do you get like the largest one, or do you use iCloud or something?
I pay for like a terabyte. I decided that I will have all kinds of clouds.
Yeah.
We live in a modern era.
Yeah.
And the cloud is my friend.
Jeez Louise. I have 31,000 is what I
total?
Have. 31,000 and 3,000 videos.
And 3,000 videos.
Yeah, because I don't take enough video. Because, and this is where I kind of want to learn from you, is what do you use to edit all your videos and all that stuff? Like, what are you using, a particular app, or are you just filming on your phone and then just, you know, because your edits are great and you do amazing content. So like, I'm not, if you don't want to give me trade secrets, at least give me some advice and tips, because I know that I need to be able to create more content, and it's very easy to do it on your phone and be able to do those things.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, there's no secrets, and I want to support you, and anybody that wants to get started, they always ask me, and I'm like, sure, no problem.
What are your musts? You don't have to give me all of them, but ones, you think.
Yeah, so for a long time, I was editing right on TikTok, but they changed some of the watermarks, so I had to pivot. I loved editing on TikTok, but they changed the watermark because a lot of people were editing on it and then taking it to other apps. And they're like, we don't want you to use us for that, and then post it on Instagram, because, you know, they have some beef.
Yep.
But so I mostly use either CapCut or InShot.
Okay.
Those are like pretty simple, pretty nice. Every once in a while, I use VideoLeap, but most of the time I use those. And then I did pay, it's so particular, but sometimes I be like that. And then I paid for Captions, which is an app for just captions.
Yep.
Just because I think they're pretty. So I paid for it outright.
Is it a yearly? Is it just an outright thing?
I think it was just like an outright. And I was like, you know what? I want this captions.
Okay.
Even though Instagram, if you enable them, adds a caption, TikTok adds it. YouTube, they all add the captions. I was like, I want this captions. Okay. So I paid for it.
I'm going to have to check it out.
Yes, because you can color code it.
Oh, really?
Listen.
Okay.
This is my particular secret. If the video, I put letters or signs in one color, in that app, then I can color code it for my captions to be the same color and all be matching. And I have something about matching, even my outfits and everything.
I'm even looking at your phone, and I could see the icons are actually in color variations as well.
They're color-coded, yeah.
That is some crazy craziness.
I'm all about color-coding.
I love it. And I think that's important too, even when you're like, especially when you're doing video, you want to make sure you're having, especially when it's food, like the colors, you want different colors to kind of go and do those things as well when you're filming.
Yeah, well, and part of it is also that I realized I want to have this one piece of content that I can just post it in whatever platform I want. Because a lot of times there's really cool trends going on Instagram, on TikTok, but then to get them out and make it make sense in other platforms, it becomes more work and more of a struggle. So I'm like, those are fun. And again, I have no rules. If I feel like doing that trend and just doing it on Instagram and it just inspired me in the moment, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
No questions asked. But for my regular content that I want to show my audience, that it's more like, here's an experience that you need to try, I will do it in one of those apps and then just export it and then just make sure that it looks good in every platform.
Do you, when you have, since you have so much content, you have so many videos, how do you organize like your album? Is it like an album? Do you have it like based on certain locations and you do it like that? Or like if it's like a certain restaurant, you keep all that stuff in one spot? Because after a while, you're just kind of scrolling then trying to figure those things out. How do you keep it all straight?
So I have location enabled,
and
it is the biggest blessing.
Yep.
Because I typed in the date or the location and things come up, but I also do make folders per restaurant, but it also becomes kind of crazy. So I'm actually very timely that you asked that, because I am working on just standardizing and creating my own database and possibly just having like a virtual assistant or something to keep up and organize all my archives and everything that I've worked on, so I can have like it just like a library of like, these are the places, experience and things that I've done that I can do with your brand, or some of them to get rid of them because some places don't exist anymore. Yeah. You know, some places sadly have closed down, have changed, all those things. So I'm working on kind of organizing the data, since I'm very numbers driven. Mm-hmm. Having that data like a mess, it bothers me.
Yeah, I can imagine. So that's a good point I wanted to talk about, in the aspect of, so you've been for the time that you've been doing it, at what point did you start kind of going where it becomes like kind of like hobby? I mean, obviously it's a passion, but when did it go from hobby to start actually making money to where you're now going to the point where you're kind of like a, you know, food expert, where you're now going to businesses and businesses are acquiring your help and things like that? Like, how did that transition kind of go? And at the same time, balance the work aspect. But that's a different topic. Well, let's go with that one first.
Okay. I like this question. Actually, most of it was a little bit out of anger and out of feeling used.
Okay.
And that's very personal and raw, but I think a lot of creators could relate to this, but it was a hobby. I'm doing a video in this restaurant, but then along came marketing companies, PR companies. So then this restaurant is having an opening, it's having a menu change, it's having, you name it. And then they're like, oh, come here, eat for free, post something, I will get a paycheck and you will get a thank you. And as soon as I understood the logistics of that and how I was driving all across town, I was driving 30 miles north, 30 miles south for sometimes like literally like an ice cream or something. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm putting miles on my car. I'm spending gas, spending my time, then editing, then not really hanging out with my friends or people that I want to time for this person to look good. I'm like, Why don't I just cut the middleman and go directly and do it?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm leaving money on the table. And at that point, a few years back, there was in the food community in Orlando, there was some kind of beef between the people that charged the restaurants and the people that, like, just did it complimentary.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't see both sides that well, but as soon as I was like getting, you know, tired and seeing like, wow, you're profiting out of my content, I was like, wow. And don't get me wrong, I love PR companies. Now I have, you know, good relationship with some of them, but I pick and choose because literally their paycheck is to put this together and then use your time, energy, and posting.
Yeah, because then they just share your content.
Or they just share the strategy with the restaurant and coordinate everything, get paid for the project and what they coordinated and posted and the results, and they just follow up with everybody that created. But I'm like, wow, every person that created just gave them something for free so that they look good.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's a more simplistic, there's more to it.
Yeah, of course.
But that's like an overly simplistic, and remember, everything ties back to, I'm a banker, and when I understood, and I'm an economist, but, so when I understood like the economics of it, I was like, why is somebody profiting off me, and then I'm tired, exhausted, and full of eating this food that I don't necessarily want it to eat at this time? So that's when it started like bothering me, and I'm like, you know what? Some places, if I didn't feel like going or I wasn't sure, I was like, sure, I'll go for this much. And if you really want me there, you pay. And if not, now I know what I'm worth.
Yeah.
And that's literally simple as that. That's how it started. People can take it as they want it, but I'm being really open and honest. And I don't know. I was like, why are they making money and I'm not?
Yeah.
When I'm doing the dirty work.
So how difficult is it? Usually, and I'm assuming there's like a barrier entry of who you're offering this to or not. Because like, let's say, you know, there's some places that are not great, but they're like, oh, well, let's try this. We can get Chantal come over here and show some love to it, and then it'll be good. Like, is there like what's the dilemma there sometimes? You know what I mean? Because I'm assuming if a place is not that great, do you just say, yeah, I'm not interested? Or, you know, and that's kind of like the dilemma, right?
It's happened, and I try to have a good delivery.
Yeah.
It's not always the best.
Yeah.
But sometimes if they tell me, I'm like, hey, I'm so sorry, but I went on my own and I didn't enjoy my experience.
Yeah.
Or...
Wow. That's a tough one.
Oh, yeah. But...
It's a tough one.
Actually, online, I'm pretty politically correct because I'm not out here to ruin anybody's reputation or any business. But if you ask me privately, I will tell you.
Yeah.
And as simple as that, I'm very honest. And actually, one of the biggest, I mean, most powerful business owner that has so many restaurants across Orlando, he will personally DM me, or his wife will reach out to me and ask me, what did you think? How can we improve?
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, the chefs will get like a little bit upset or the ego would get hurt. But I'm not afraid to tell them.
Yeah.
I will tell them to their face, I did not like this dish, or this dish needed help, this didn't work out. And I will tell them, and you can ask like food creators, because they've been there and they're like super awkward, like, Chantal, just tell them it's okay. And I tell them, because I'm like, I'm not doing anybody's favor if I just tell you that it's good, but I know I'm not going to post about it because I didn't like it.
Correct.
And that's something else that I don't know if you were going to ask, but if I didn't like it that much, I won't post it.
Well, and that's something that I think is what I was curious about as well.
Because I will delete the videos. Like, I wasn't there.
It's one of those where at the same time, like, especially God forbid you, and that's why I was asking if like, you obviously have tried the place before you start getting paid to create content.
Yes.
Because, you know, and that's kind of how I was when I was doing my sandwich events. I'd people would ask me like, oh, why don't you come? And then I would go and I would not wear anything brand related, or we would go eat there. And I was like, the goal was that they wouldn't know anything about it, because if I didn't like it, I didn't want to tell anyone, hey, come eat here, because that's the hardest part. And that's like the biggest thing. And I also do know, I agree, there's some chefs that you cannot tell them, hey, I think that you should do this. Because they're like, no, this is what it's going to be like. And I said, okay, well, then I guess I won't be ordering it again.
Correct.
Because I'll get it somewhere else. Because that happens too. So obviously you're a banker and you work in it, you know. And so I know your employer, because when I saw them at the podcast, I saw all your coworkers and everything like that with your podcast premiere. How does that balance work? Does your work, does that ever interfere? Does your work ever, your corporate side of your, of the corporate side of the house ever interfere with the food content and the aspect of, hey, like, you know, what do you, you know, your work, you're not working, you're doing this, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I can see that always being, I work in a corporate environment, so I understand that aspect where the perception for a very long time, no one even knew that I had a brand or anything. And then when they started Googling or seeing things, or actually the way it happened was they saw me in Orlando Sentinel on like some article or something, and there was like, oh, Anthony, but you know, like, and I was just like, oh, and that's why I would always now go by Biggie everywhere, because it's a lot easier and no one knows, you know, so that way it's like less Googleable, I guess. But do you have to deal with that as well in your corporate world?
Yeah. One of my managers a few years back, he always questioned it, but, and that was just like a trust issue.
Yep.
But my past two managers have been super supportive, because I just put in my numbers, put in my hours, and actually a lot of times it brings more business.
Yeah.
Because I do work with stuff related to business owners, and because of the brand that I've built and how I am with everything that I deliver, people are like, oh, she was timely. She did everything that she said she would. We did a deal with her, or we wanted her help for something and she was helpful. They assume I'm going to be the same when banking.
Yeah.
And then they give me a chance, and then I am, and then I usually deliver.
Yeah.
So then they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. We have a fun banker. And it just changes the conversation.
Yeah.
And when my manager asked me, how did you find them? No, they found me, or I met them eating, and then they want to do more business with me. So it actually helps.
Okay.
I would say my food aspect helps more my corporate than the other way around.
Got it.
Because if my corporate wasn't there, I would probably have more hours to devote to the food creation, and I would think I would be further along.
Yeah.
But, you know, everything's subjective, and I'm not like, I'm very entrepreneurial, but I do take very calculated, meditated risks. If I was more of a risk taker, I would have probably reduced it to halftime or something.
I'm with you.
Yeah, you know,
you, I get you.
You feel it, and I could probably do more with the food, but at the same time, it also always, I always have the budget for food because I do the corporate. So it's
kind of one balances the other. Yes. And you just have to figure out that balance.
Correct. Yeah. And for example, I recently took a new job, and probably the food community, I thought, oh, the food community is not going to help me in my new job because it's like such higher end clients. It's not going to help. Let me tell you, first week on the job, the food community came through and helped me. Guess what happened?
What?
He was a really large client, and we got people coming from Atlanta, coming from South Florida. It's a big meeting. They're going to like present me there and have me meet the client. Guess what? The three options we had, and I looked at the restaurant options, and there was one that had a Michelin star, and they wanted it to book it the day after. Like, we're thinking of going a Tuesday, and it's Monday. And I looked at it and I said, I'm the new person on the team. I said, guys, I got it. I'll make the reservation. And somebody's like, no, I checked. They don't have it. I reach out. And I said, I think I got it. And I reach out to the food community, reach out to some people. They got in contact with the chef of the restaurant and said, hey, this person's coming. And I was like, listen, just give me a really good table. We'll take care of it. It's like a lot of corporate people. We just need to make a good impression on this client. And the person's like, she's going to make a good video for you and everything, which I didn't think I had to do a video, but the person promised a video on my behalf. But that's how we got the reservation.
Wow.
And literally all my teammates were mind blown and asking me, who are you and how did you get this reservation?
Now they're Googling you, trying to figure out, and they're like, oh, okay, now I know why.
Exactly.
I love it.
And guess what? Client was super excited, extremely happy. My boss was like shocked and excited. And the video ended up doing really well. The restaurant was taken care of.
I love it. So we talked about this. You recently started a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So tell people a little bit about, you know, how did the Les Chisme con Chanti podcast come? And I know it's a collab with like Hi Hello Labs, but how did it all come about? Like, how did that come? Was that something you because we talk about premeditated ideas and things like that.
Oh, is this something, very calculated.
Is this something that you kind of thought of and everything like that? I mean, I already noticed that one of the calculated things, because I do love the way your brain works. like, it's, you know, Spanish Heritage Month. That's when the podcast premiered.
Yes.
And you're very good when it comes to that. But how did all that come about, like, to do a Spanish speaking podcast and all of that? Obviously, you can find it on YouTube and change the edits. You can give that hack so that people can watch it. But give me a little bit of a rundown on how all that kind of started.
So my podcast, if you didn't know, launched the 6th of September of 2023. But this was something I had talked about since 2021.
You've been talking about it.
Yes. I had, like people say these days, I put it out in the universe. Because actually a friend of mine, a creator, really close friend, Puerto Rican, he's always said, Chantal, let's do it. It's like, it would be great. You're charming. We should do it. And I'm like, and he's like, you have really good diction. We could do it in English or Spanish because both you speak really well. And I was like, sounds fun. But I said, I absolutely cannot add more things to my plate. Yeah. I was like, looks really fun, but I'm not about to start. I didn't even switch from phone to camera editing. And you want me to start editing a full show? I said, no. I said, absolutely no.
Yeah.
So I said, I love the idea. Let's see if we can get sponsors, do a partnership, collab with somebody. Let's just see. Like, I'm not about to just start and edit those things. I don't do it for my videos. Do you think I'm going to edit a whole show? I said, no.
Yeah.
But my friend Siste, we talked about it. There's a podcast that's called Hablando de Comida.
Okay.
Translated
talking
in English.
About food.
Yeah, talking about food podcast. Hablamos de comida. And my friend listened to it a bunch. He would share me, like, dude, like, we could do this so much better and cover Orlando. And I'm like, oh, sounds amazing. Sounds fun. Then I heard your podcast and I'm like, dang. And, you know, and I started listening to more and more podcasts and I was like, wow, I would love to, but I'm like, I just don't have mental capacity and the time for it at the moment. And so I just put the idea to the side, but kept thinking about it. And just like with the food, and somebody said, you regret it. One day somebody said, you have to meet these people. And it was the couple from High Hello Labs.
Yep.
And I met them. The intro, we had breakfast together. And they were like, we don't know about what, but you need to have a podcast. They're like, we're going to figure out the math, the numbers. We'll figure out something, but we want to have a podcast with you. And I was like, wow. I was like shocked. I was excited. I almost didn't sleep thinking of like, what am I going to talk about? Like all these things. And I was just like so shocked. And at that moment, they were like, we have a big network of sponsors. Let's explore some of that. But there is a need for female Latinas for content in Spanish. Like, would you be open to doing it in Spanish? And going back to how my brain thinks, I was like, absolutely. Like, people all the time tell me, why don't you capitalize on you speaking Spanish? All your content's in English. Why don't you use that side of you? We want to see more of you. Because you can see some Spanish when I travel to Spanish-speaking countries or when I'm with my family. And I'll mix it here and there. And people are like, you need to maximize that. And then this was another time people being like, you need to do it in Spanish. And I'm like, you know what? I don't always listen to people, but a lot of people keep telling me that I need to use this. And then you're telling me, I said, it's a sign. At that point, I'm like, it's a sign.
Yeah.
And fast forward, it gives me so much energy because I hadn't connected to my Dominican side, to like my ghetto Spanish, all chopped, all Islander, Caribbean Spanish. Like, it's like I'm a different person. And it's a side of me that I hadn't connected since I was in high school. And I was like, wow. Like, I'm glad I took the chance and listened to people. And it's been great, but I'm not going to narrate and just do it in Spanish. I'll sprinkle some English here and there because through the community, I've met a lot of people and chefs that I would want to have. But I'm like, wow, I've connected with a whole side of me internally.
That
was lost in there, you know, somewhere. Yeah. So that's kind of how it'll happen.
That's great. And you guys do it at High Hello Labs in off of Orange downtown.
On the Crest building.
Which is like unbelievable. I'm going to try to have a conversation with them to go visit them and have them on the podcast, cuz I love I've seen a lot of different places where you can create content and podcasts, but they've done a really superb way of doing it. Not something that you may see me doing anytime soon because I don't have the budget for it, but I absolutely love it. It is state of the art. It's gorgeous.
Listen,
and I love that.
It's a four. It's attainable.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I know.
And I mean, for you, you have already the editing part of it, so you could work out some deal.
We could see. We'll see.
Just,
We'll see. I need to start with sponsors first. I need a sponsor first.
Are you listening? Yeah. Me a sponsor.
If anyone wants a sponsor, go ahead. We can work something out. I just love the fact that what you're doing and how you're doing it. I think it is absolutely, I was super excited when you first told me months before that it was happening. And I kept asking you, I was like, when is it happening? What are you doing? When are you going to do it? I'm really, really happy that you get to do this. Cause I think it's another side that people get to see of you. Mm-hmm. And I also think the fact that you don't have to worry about editing, like I was talking with them, I'm like, you don't have to worry, you have to worry about getting the guests, but they help schedule it. Mm-hmm. They help do all those things. I mean, those to me are the hardest parts for me to have to do, is the scheduling, the editing, the research, all those things. Everything is, there's a lot of work involved when it comes to a podcast.
Yes.
And so you get the benefit of being able to actually do it and not actually, you know, and then share the content and they do such a good job creating it and doing and distributing it that it works out great for you.
Oh, and actually I'm going to hire somebody to just edit and take reels out of it.
Yeah. No, that's great.
So, because I told you, I just don't have the capacity to edit more.
Well, we may have to talk because I've been seeing a lot of stuff for podcasts and AI where they actually will create those.
All ears.
Yeah, I've seen those because I've been looking. And since I don't do video, because that's the thing. Everyone keeps asking me, is like, when are you going to do video? And I'm like, I don't have the capacity to do edit video. I'm like, I don't even, it frustrates me to do video on my phone. I don't know if I can actually do editing a video for a podcast too. May be cheaper than an assistant or editor, because obviously that obviously takes some time to do.
No, because I'm open to all of that, because I realize first you have to invest if you believe in it, if you believe in yourself and your brand. Yep. And luckily for me, last year was the first year that I got the most monetization on my brand.
Yeah.
And I had different goals in mind. Again, I'm very calculated.
Yeah.
Everything, I'm very calculated. Sometimes people just think the free spirit should post phone videos, but I'm very calculated with so many things. Like, there's an analytical side of me that just takes over. And I was like, okay, I need to either make this much a month from content creation or have this amount of savings in my bank account. And then I will try to do just content creation. And I'm like, whatever happens first, and it's a specific number. I don't know if people want to know, but...
No, you just keep it.
Yeah. I'm open with those things. Yeah, I know. Very specific.
I know.
So I'm like, these are my goals. Either this monthly income stable. And then guess what? Podcast is one of the ways that if you get a sponsor, it would be predictable monthly income.
Correct.
Rather than chasing local restaurants. Because in reality, I don't want to end up literally just having three contracts and just posting about the same three restaurants all the time. Because I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
And then your content suffers. And then you don't even want to eat that food anymore.
No.
Which goes back to why I started. I want to try different foods and restaurants all the time.
Yeah. No, I love it. I love it. It's that's so accurate. What advice would you give someone wanting to start something?
Honestly, I would just say start it and pilot it, ask people their opinion, and just go for it. Because sometimes we just want to have the perfect timing, the perfect product, the perfect service, the perfect everything that we get in the way of ourselves and don't start it.
Yeah.
And half of the battle is starting it. And then just taking people's intake and opinion. Like, did I think I was ready to launch when I launched? Absolutely not. But I was like, Hispanic Heritage Month is starting. I want to have something to show for when it starts. And also, I need a deadline on myself to make sure I'm accounted. I'm accountable. And is it perfect? Sometimes, even with my videos, I'm like, it's not perfect, but it's good enough. And it's better to have a video to show something that I really liked than making that extra transition perfect.
Yeah.
I would just say start and see how you like it, because it lets you, and a lot of them, if you see entrepreneurs, having like a prototype, a soft launch, a, you know, a pre-opening, a pre-whatever, so that you can test and get the feedback and do the tweaks along the way. And you will have the time and energy to do the tweaks along the way. Because if you're just paralyzed about starting, it's going to be tough for them.
No, I totally agree with that. I absolutely agree when it comes to doing that. I think that's like so important to be able to just get out of your head and just start working and start doing it.
Yeah, and it happens to a lot of creators. Mm-hmm. And then they end up like not posting as often. Am I as proud of all of my videos? No. There's some that I'm absolutely proud of. There's some that I'm like, man, there's some that I'm like, oof, what was I thinking? But guess what? Each of them connected with different people at a different level.
So I'm going to ask you two more social questions, because I'm kind of curious when it comes to content. One is, how often are you putting, are you like, I know you do it every day, but are you doing it multiple times a day? And then that's one aspect of it, because I'm always kind of curious on like, how much content should I be posting or doing on social?
So the people that are the most successful that I aspire to be one day, possibly, I see they post 2 to 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Other people that I know post like 5-6 times a day. I don't know that I'll ever get that way to that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know. But I'll say like top of the line would be like 3 times a day. I do 1 and sometimes 0. Yeah. But for example, weekends when I have the time and I've batch edited, or I have something for my podcast and something for my restaurant, I'll post 2 a day.
Yeah.
And just space it out, 1 in the morning, 1 at night. So that also gives me the space to live in the present and connect with my family, my dear ones around me, you know? Because I will never be on my phone when I'm actually eating and hanging out with friends.
I love that. I love that you're actually present. Like once you do what you need to do, that's it.
Oh, they know. It will only be the camera app open. Most of the time, they will have it to record me. So I'm not even holding the phone.
Yes, because I do love seeing you eat.
Yeah, so they will be holding the phone. I won't even be holding. They record it. They say, you approve? Yeah, just throw that phone in there. We'll have a dinner and then forget it.
How often are you posting older stuff that you've done?
So,
because I don't usually see older things from you.
No, I try sometimes to recycle, depending if it's relevant or like if a restaurant has a milestone and is a place that I love and want to support.
Yeah,
I will do that. And going back to, I try to have a folder per restaurant. So like, I really like Doshi. It's a Korean experience. I've gone 3-4 times, maybe something like that. And I think they paid for half of them. I paid for the other half, you know?
Okay.
So, yes, they invited me, but I went back and paid on my own, and they were super excited.
Is that good?
Yeah, because it's that good. I would pay for it, you know, even if you don't invite me, I will pay for it. So I've tried, and I've seen their progress, because at the beginning, it wasn't as good. And I told them, and and then I went back, and it was better, and then so I brought friends. And for example, I saw, I'm subscribed to the email that they were gonna celebrate their 1-year anniversary. Well, I went back to my folder, Doshi, in my phone, and I took random clips, found an audio, and just made a post. Congratulations on your 1-year anniversary. Because I like it, I've been multiple times, and I wanna show them they are supported, and like, congratulations on that milestone.
Yeah,
no, some restaurants don't make it a year, you know. So I'm
heck yeah.
I'm glad to have you in this community, and congratulations on 1 year. So that's when you will see me, you know, kinda. Or I started doing the Let's Try This Day, because I realized Central Florida is really big, and people don't want to go to one area unless they have a few things where they can spend many hours. So I started with that every so often.
I like that.
Those have been very popular. Every one of those videos have been super popular. They're more involved, so they take a lot more from me. But whenever I can and have a vision, I do it. And then I'll Let's Try This Day, and I've done Winter Garden, I've done Titusville, I've done Mills 50 with no reparking. I've done quite a few. I think I've done Ocala, something random. So if you're going to go out of your way, you have a few things to stack up.
Yeah.
And in those, I will, you know, combine things from other days, and you'll see me with different outfits if you pay a lot of attention.
Yeah. I like that. Where so where can people follow you, and where can they listen to your podcast?
Oh, so you can follow me at letstrythis_Orlando on Instagram. If you go to like TikTok and YouTube, it would be _letstrythis_.
Okay.
Because Let's Try This Orlando didn't fit on TikTok. And then I made YouTube to match TikTok. I don't know why. And on Facebook, it just says Let's Try This. Even though I said the Let's Try This Orlando, it just super weird.
We'll put it all on the show notes. So you can you'll see all the socials on the show notes.
Please.
To it's be just, able to look at it.
Yes. It's very complicated, guys. I'm so sorry. Just put it there so they can click it.
Yeah.
And then the podcast is at www.letschisme.com.
Yep.
And it has all the options of like different platforms.
Many, many platforms. Many, many platforms. Chantal, I truly appreciate our friendship. I appreciate all your support. I thank you so much for enjoying my lunch break with me today. If definitely make sure to check her out online on Instagram. If you're following her, send her. You may not be able to get a DM, but you'd be able to at least send her and let her know that you heard her on the podcast and you wanted to give her a follow. Trust me, she is a must follow. My entire family follows her. She's the one person that I love. I'm always looking to see where she's either headed to, trying to figure out if she's actually there at the moment or if she's actually in Florida still. And at the same time, always, you know, always has amazing advice and amazing food options for you to be able to check out. So definitely do that. If you enjoyed the show, to make sure to subscribe, make sure to leave reviews, leave stars, do all that. Tell all your friends. If you want to support me, check out my brand, Daily Fresh Threads. Do some shopping and tell, obviously, wear some Daily Fresh Threads everywhere you go and send some pictures. Thank you. Until next time, keep eating sandwiches and follow your passion. Thanks, everyone.